Good afternoon and welcome to the LaRouche Show. It is Saturday, December 24th, 2011. I'm Harley Schlanger and I'll be your host. Well, this is our Christmas Eve special. But as many of you already know, the organization of Lyndon LaRouche is on a special alert status during the so-called holiday season this year. We're manning our battle station, so to speak, because we're mobilizing worldwide for the immediate removal from office of that puppet of the British Empire, U.S. President Barack Obama. We're on alert especially because Obama has put our nation on a course toward war, and not just a war similar to what was done in Libya or the use of drones in Pakistan and Afghanistan, but a possible thermonuclear war triggered by a possible Israeli assault against Iran or a Libya-style intervention into Syria. On today's program, we're going to be discussing the precise nature of this danger, and more importantly, what you must do if we are going to stop this war threat and make it safely into the post-Obama era. Joining me on the program today is a very special guest, Jacques Cheminade, who is a candidate for President of France. Jacques is a very well-known figure in French politics. He's run for the presidency before. He is an economist. He's an historian. He's someone who has traveled extensively, who's been to Africa, who's been in the middle of political fights, leading the fight against the euro. He's also the target of a very nasty operation run against him in one of his previous campaigns, run through the Constitutional Court. And this is a matter that's reemerged as an issue today, which we may get to later in the program. But most importantly, Jacques is identified as the leading figure in the Republican tradition in France, a tradition associated with the name of Charles de Gaulle, the resistance to the Nazis during World War II. He's also the leader of the LaRouche movement in France. The first round of the election in France will take place in April 2012. Jacques, welcome to the LaRouche Show.
Welcome to all of you, and I'm very happy to be with an American audience.
Well, I want to begin by discussing the strategic situation and the real danger of a World War III. LaRouche has called for a worldwide mobilization to prevent this. I'd like to know first, what's the latest you have on the situation on the ground in what LaRouche is calling the New Balkans, that is the Middle East, and then secondly, what you're doing to mobilize in France and in Europe more broadly?
At this point, in France and in Europe, but particularly in France, everybody has a sense that something very dangerous is coming, but nobody knows exactly what it could be. So when we brief people on how it is and what it is, people get extremely interested and aware that they have to do something. What the main thing that they understand is that there are two wars. One is an already declared war, an economic war against the people, against nations, and that's going. And the second war is the open war, a thermonuclear war that can become as a result of the first war. So they understand this development, and the French government, after the Libyan adventure and the criminal Libyan adventure, in the second round of this adventure, is getting extremely tense about the result of its own policy. Because now there are weapons in all Africa, there are weapons in around the whole Mediterranean, and there is this adventure, this new adventure in Syria and Iran, targeting ultimately China and Russia. So the French are in a very funny situation at the level of the government, at the level of the administration. On one side, they are afraid. And they are very angry against the British. They say the British should be downgraded by the rating agencies. The British are in a worse situation than us in Europe. This is terrible. But at the same time, absolutely nothing is done against the operations of the oligarchy and the British banks and the whole dark pools, shadow banking, high-frequency trading, nothing is done against it. And Sarkozy said very openly in French TV that he's against Glass-Steagall. And the main French banker, Baudouin Pro, who is together with Michel Pébrot, are the two heads of the banking community. Baudouin Pro now is president of BNP Paribas, the most important bank in terms of assets in the world. He said, I am totally against Glass-Steagall because this could not work, and we need to have investment banks working with deposit or commercial banks together, because what they call universal banking, because like that we can open more credit, we can give more credit to the households and to the firms, but they do nothing. In fact, all the banks in Europe are looking at each other, and none is giving credit to any of them. So what's happening now is that the BCE, the European Central Bank, the ECB, the BCE, as it's called in France, the Banque Centrale Européenne, the European Central Bank, is flooding with its mini bazooka. It's flooding the banks with money. The relaunching is reaching unbelievable heights in terms of Europe. Now they have given 489 billion euros to the banks, to 533 European banks. They are giving all this money with a 1% interest rates and for 3 years. And the banks, as guarantee, can bring any dirty or toxic security, and they have to bring not 2% that it was before, but only 1% in terms of amounts corresponding to deposits or to short-term money.
So, Jacques, so, this is the policy that the Federal Reserve used in 2008, which they're now saying was successful, which, of course, is a complete lie.
Yeah, it takes here a different form, but it's exactly the same result. And everybody knows that in 2012, the banks would need, they say, 578 billion euros, which in fact is much more. And it's, in any case, they themselves say that they need for the first 3 months of next year 278 billion. And in fact, the whole year is 600 billion, but probably much more. The states would need 800 billion. So all in all, what is recognized as needed is 1,400 billions. And in fact, it's 2,000 billions. So this is a situation
which is close, for the American listening audience, to $3 trillion.
Yes, exactly.
And this is exactly what Geithner said when he went to the meeting in Warsaw a couple months ago.
To blackmail the European.
Yeah. Now, Jacques, I want to get back to...
And then what we are doing.
Yeah.
I know. What we have in the field is, a very interesting political board. It says... When war is roaming, is it reasonable to celebrate Christmas? With a question mark. So the question mark creates in the mind of people the idea that they should be committed to do something else than to run after illusions. And there is an understanding at this point. People tend to understand their own cowardice, that in this Christmas time, that they are directed to become the servants of their senses. And people have an understanding of that, but they don't know what to do. So in the process of my presidential candidacy, they would have a sense and an idea of what has to be done, how they should mobilize themselves. The problem is it's a time, because war can come at any moment, and it's a run against time.
Well, I want to go back to something you brought up, because the role of the British is interesting both on the financial and the military strategic side. When you said that there's anger against Britain, I assume your first point you were making was over the Cameron's decision in this summit on December 9th, 8th, and 9th to have the British opt out of the euro bailout, which created a crisis, which led to this whole wall of money policy. Is that what you were referring to?
Yes, but not only. I am referring to the fact that the rating agencies, Moody's, Fitch, or Standard & Poor's, are not downgrading England, while they threaten to downgrade all the Eurozone states. So this creates a tension. It's a tension among sharks. There are sharks on both sides.
Uh-huh.
But this tension is interesting because it creates a sense, a moment of turbulence and lack of control. So it's in this situation that we can up the ante and intervene in the mind of people. And this is happening in France during the whole presidential process.
Now,
so,
at the same time that you have this tension among sharks, it is the case that Sarkozy worked very closely with Cameron
and Obama
on the Libyan war, and Obama, yes. Why don't you say something about that, the French role in Libya, and also Sarkozy and the European Parliament came out very strongly calling for Assad pretty much to be overthrown. So what is the French role in that?
It's the French role is that a junior partner of the Anglo-Americans at this point. And Sarkozy, in that sense, is a sucker. What he did in Libya with Cameron could not have happened without the Obama support, mm-hmm. because the French and the British had no laser-guided missiles, they had no drones, they had nothing which would have permitted what they did. So they had to have the Obama support. And Obama was giving this support, pretending not to be in it, but being fully in support of Sarkozy and Cameron, letting Sarkozy and Cameron expose themselves. So now, after what happened, Sarkozy tries to use that for electoral purposes. But at the same time, the French administration and part of the establishment are absolutely aware that it's a very, very, very dangerous policy. So they express their, let's say, their fear in two forms. First, the French representative to the United Nations said that France would never engage in any military operation against Syria or Iran, that Syria is not Libya. And at the same time, they give signs to Putin and to Russia that they are not going fully, they are going a bit, but not fully, with the anti-Russian operation. For example, the person that criticized the electoral process in Russia was denounced in an indirect way, but denounced as a minor figure in the French Foreign Affairs Ministry. So you have all this, at the same time that you have all this horrible policy, what this flooding of money in Europe, now it's called in Europe the Sarko trade, a sort of European carry trade, because the banks would get money at 1%, for 3 years, and they can invest it, I don't know, in Spanish bonds at 5.20%, Italian bonds 6%, or even German bonds at 2.1%. So make money at the expense of the states. This is unbelievable. It's a scandal. So you have that, and you have in this situation the fact that the whole thing cannot but collapse, and people see that in a situation where austerity is imposed to the population and to the economy, and you have this flooding in money for the banks and all the policy of bailout, extreme bailout. So this can only lead to war. So people understand the connection between what's happening economically and where it leads to war. But they have no confidence in anybody. Now there is a new sociological definition of the French type of reaction. It's called the hostile citizen, which means that they're hostile to everybody, hostile to all political parties, rejecting politics and looking for something else. So while they are trying to silence me, to prevent a voice to come and to show that what's happening now, I denounced it in 1995, and I denounced it with LaRouche, that LaRouche was in jail because he denounced it. So that they don't want people to know. But at the same time, they can't prevent it, that something would come out. Because what's very, very interesting at this point is that my whole case of 1995, where my accounts, presidential accounts, were thrown away by the Constitutional Council, they accepted those of Chirac and Balladur. And Chirac and Balladur were involved with all these dirty deals with Saudi Arabia, the Sawari II deal with Saudi Arabia, which is very similar to BAE in Britain with Saudi Arabia, or the French. It's a minor contract compared to the British one, but it's the same time. And at the same time, they were involved in selling these submarines to the Pakistanis, these Augusta submarines. So people in the French administration of the Navy, Navy administration, Direction de Construction Navale, Direction of Navy Building, were killed in Pakistan in a terrorist operation, and it was said that it was Al-Qaeda. So now it appears that it could be a revenge for certain Pakistani circles against the French, because the French were not giving the money that they had pledged. So it's a very, very dirty deal with the money coming to the Balladur campaign. So Sarkozy keeps saying, I could not know anything about it, but he was ahead of the budget under Balladur, and he was the spokesman of Balladur's campaign. At the end of the campaign, he was basically ruling the treasury, the funds of the campaign, because the official treasurer was so scared of what was happening that he had left. So now the whole thing is coming very near to Sarkozy. And at the same time, they have to speak about me. They don't like it. But there are a few articles in the newspapers. I was in a few important radios telling about the case. They don't want me to tell about my ideas. They stop me when I try to tell about the ideas. But they tell about the case. So now it's all over. And the mayors that were organized by us know it, but they know my policy. So they are saying, look, this guy, this was done to him because he said that the crisis was coming and that it would lead to war. And he said that in 1995.
Well, you're listening to Jacques Cheminade on the LaRue Show. Jacques is a candidate for president of France. And Jacques, there are a couple things you brought up I want to come back to. One, you mentioned this question of the carry trade, the ability to borrow this almost 500 billion euros from the European Central Bank at 1% and then buy government bonds at 5, 6, 7%. That's exactly what was exposed recently from the Federal Reserve, giving money to the U.S. banks who then bought treasuries. It's like just giving money to the banks.
Oh, yeah, it's like giving money to the banks. And either they would, what they say is that the banks would in turn bring credit for the firms, for the producers, and for the household.
But they're not doing that.
It's absolutely a lie. Everybody knows it's a lie.
Yeah.
So I met certain mayors who had official positions in the Interior Ministry and the Finance Ministry. And what they tell me, we are supporting you because you are the only one that can speak up.
And Jacques, at the same time they're giving this money, free money, literally, to the banks, they're imposing vicious austerity. The listeners know about the situation in Greece. The Italian government just passed today the Mario Monti Goldman Sachs austerity budget. What about France? I know that the budget, the latest Sarkozy budget, was quite a brutal one. What does that look like in terms of the bailouts
of the
banks?
In France, it's what the Inquisition did. It's little by little, but more and more. So now they are already at the third austerity plan, and they plan a fourth austerity plan. So, but it's done little by little, and they have still certain measures which give a few money to people. But this few money doesn't permit people to make it. At this point, more officially, 6% of the French population in the Paris region, which is wealthier than other regions, 6% are undernourished or suffering from hunger, 6%.
Mm-hmm.
And 13% of the French population is under the level of poverty, which is 750 euros per month.
Hmm.
And the average, the median wage in France, which means that 50% of the French population earns less than that, is 1,500 gross per month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very little.
Now, are you getting, in the United States, there was this Occupy Wall Street movement, which at least initially was based on this anger at the bailout. At the same time, the population, there were cuts in funding for health care, for the seniors, for education, for infrastructure. Is there something similar in France? Is there a recognition that while BNP Paribas, Société Générale, Crédit Agricole are getting bailed out, there's no money for the Mittelstand, for the small business? Is that a general, is that part of this creation of a hostile citizen you were talking about?
Yes, there is that, but it takes a different form. For example, you have in the last issue of the semi-official French paper, Le Monde, the first page title is the ECB, the European Central Bank, floods the banks with fresh money. Isn't that unbelievable? So that's the title. At the same time, in Le Figaro, you have an article saying the Eurozone under IMF, International Monetary Fund control, and it's true, because now it's not even the Troika, the European Commission, the European Central Bank, and the International Monetary Fund that are going to control countries like they did with Greece. Mm-hmm. Now it's the International Monetary Fund. And to get money from the International Monetary Fund, mainly for the banks, the European nations decided to contribute 150 billion euros to the International Monetary Fund. So in this crazy, crazy, crazy situation, the European countries of the Eurozone are giving 150 billion euros to the IMF so that the IMF gives money to the banks, and they hope a bit of money to Italy to get it just the head out of the water, at the same time that they impose the most vicious austerity to Italy, which is even much worse than in France. So it's insane. It cannot work. It cannot continue like that. And people, the population, understand it. They said something very bad is happening. What can we do?
Well, this is something that LaRouche has talked about repeatedly, that Helga LaRouche has, that you've spoken about, that the euro cannot survive. It's only surviving by this huge infusion of money, which is triggering a hyperinflation. And that brings us back to this war question. What I'd like to get from you is a sense of the reaction to the, if you look at Syria or Iran, it's clear that Russia and China have stepped forward in the United Nations and in bilateral discussions, insisting that there not be an attempt to try to turn Syria into a Libya. Are the citizens of France generally aware of what's happening with the Russians? Because in the U.S. there's a total media blackout on this.
There is some of it, and the French ambassador, again, to the United Nations, said that the French would never support a military operation against Syria, that it should be done otherwise. So at the same time, the anti-Putin campaign is not picking up as much as the British would have liked, because you have all these combinations with France and Germany for Russian gas, for exports. There are all these combinations. So the French are very afraid of the monster that they have sponsored. This is what's happening.
And
the French authorities.
Yeah.
The opposition doesn't know what to do. So they are all like paralyzed. The presidential campaign, the main issues are on the table, and the main candidates do not speak about the main issues.
You know, we have the same thing in the United States, where there was this the budget ceiling debate, the deficit debate, the super Congress, all these things which actually have nothing to do with the fundamental crisis. Now, at the same time, there's got to be a recognition, I assume, because I know this from meetings I did with you when I was in Paris, that Obama is not who they thought he was. What's the sentiment now towards Obama and the United States among the French political class?
Well, what they say is that the only and last argument in favor of Obama is the alternative. It's Gingrich, it's Romney, it's all that. This is what they say, and they are very afraid of what's happening also in the United States. Even Sarkozy is afraid by it in private. He says, I don't know what to do. He's in a full cyclotimic state, Sarkozy. One day he thinks he would come on top of the world, and the next day he says everything is lost. So you have this type of situation. And a lot of people in France expect Hillary Clinton to be on board, and she should know about it.
Is there the discussion of the possibility of Hillary replacing Obama? Has that gotten over to France?
Not exactly, but under the table, people are speaking of things like that, but under the table, because they don't want to mingle in internal American affairs, in domestic American affairs. They are too afraid for that.
Well, Jacques, let me ask you a broader question that I think is something that a lot of our listeners would be interested in. What happened to the tradition of de Gaulle, the idea of a sovereign nation state in collaboration with other sovereign nation states as the core of Europe? What happened that allowed France to become, along with Germany? We know that Germany was blackmailed, in a sense, by Margaret Thatcher, Mitterrand, and Bush Sr. into accepting the euro. But what about France? Why is it that the French have been trapped into this euro and have become, Sarkozy is one of the leading defenders of this, and it doesn't seem to be that much of an issue in the campaign?
All of them defend the euro, except the extreme right wing and the extreme left. So now Marine Le Pen is picking up. She's a daughter of Jean-Marie Le Pen, the extreme right wing leader who was the arch opponent of de Gaulle. So now Marine Le Pen, who is coming as a sort of, I don't know how you say it in the U.S., replacement wheel, when you bring in something to support the system who pretends to be anti-system. So she's brought in with a double talk. She's in favor of de Gaulle. She says, I am like de Gaulle, I am for French sovereignty. We should go back to the European patriotic policies. France should go back to the euro. We should leave the euro, blah, blah. She's saying that on one side, like the Liga Norte in Italy. Right. But on the other side, strongly anti-immigrants. She said, now every year there are 200,000 immigrants in France. We should reduce them to 10,000, which is, of course, impossible. And she used an anti-Islam, anti-immigration rhetoric all the time. So she's totally opposed to what de Gaulle had always said, that France can only have that the greatness of France is based on what France has brought to the world and how France has assimilated the best of the world. So Marine Le Pen is coming closer also to the Zionists. These people, like Marine Le Pen, these pseudo-sovereignists, are linked to Dugin in Russia, to this fake European land, Eurasian land bridge crowd, mm-hmm. which is third Rome in Russia. So she's linked to this Dugin group and the Zionists in Israel. She tries to be with Obama, with Netanyahu and Lieberman, and her lover, whose name is Ruiz Alio, is presently in Israel trying to make arrangements with the ultra-Zionists. So you have these so-called opponents who, in fact, are absolutely part of the system.
So it's the election campaign, except for you, is pretty much a rigged operation.
Yes, but if I could speak, the whole thing would change. We have a very good team of about 20 youths who spoke to the mayors. And the mayors were very, very happy to hear something making sense. They say these guys come, they have no catechism, they don't recite things, they have their own conviction, and what they bring to us is an understanding of the situation that nobody else has brought to us. And we know Cheminade since 95 because I am known. I was recently in a program with a radio in southern France, and there was in the program the vice president of the Association of French Mayors, and the speaker of the program, how do you say
the host.
The host of the program told him, I have a surprise for you. I have a guy who maybe you don't know, Jacques Cheminade, will be now. I said, oh, I know Cheminade very well. So everybody on top in this country knows me very well. What they don't want is that they would be known by the population. They
Jacques,
did everything
just,
they can
just,
for
just
that.
For our audience, most of whom don't know the importance of the mayors in terms of the presidential election, say,
yeah, the mayors,
just say something a little bit about what we had to do, what we're doing to organize the mayors and why.
If you get 500 signatures of mayors sponsoring you, you can be a candidate. And the state is the only election where the state paid the expenses. Not all the expenses, but the ballots, the posters, and the declarations of candidacy. So the mayors, if they sign, you get that. So we have organized since 1 year an operation to reach the mayors with 20 youths calling them. And what I told them and what the mayors like a lot, this is not only to get the signatures. To get the signatures is only a result. Our intention is different. Our intention is to organize a movement at the basis of the country, a mayor's movement, to discuss about relevant issues that the politicians on top are not discussing. So we are organizing this as a movement. And now a lot of these mayors said, at the beginning, I thought that Chaminade was a kind of a strange guy. Second, I thought that his ideas deserved to be supported. Now I'm going to vote for him. So it's happening in that way. And what I tell them is that I want to get my nation back. You know, Margaret Thatcher was saying, I want my money back, I want my money back. I said, I want to get my nation back. And there is an alternative.
Yeah. Well, Jacques, on that, one of the, I think one of the important issues that's come up is this question of the fact that in the 1980s, you were working with Lyndon LaRouche with a grouping in the military, in the diplomatic community, in the political parties, who understood at that time the importance of LaRouche's initiative on the Strategic Defense Initiative. And there were leading figures from the resistance, from the Gaullist movement, who were supporting you and working with LaRouche on that. Now, it appears as though most of that is gone. To what extent is there a historic memory in the French people of this de Gaulle nationalist tradition?
So there is, and it's very funny because there are TV programs about all that. It's discussed again, all the issues of the 60s and 70s. And you have something very similar to what was reported from Russia on this work for the Phobos operation, where you
Mars
have
mission.
People yeah. above 50 or 60 working with young people in their 25, 30, in their 30s, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Here you have the same. You have a generation of people between 30 and 50, 55 that are not involved, and now a new generation of people are involved. We relate to the generation not before them, but that was before them. Not the generation preceding them, but the one preceding the preceding generation. So there is this connection. For example, we have a very interesting young guy working on the space agency. And he came to us, he said, your program is the only, on the space program is the only making sense. So now he works with us, and he met another guy who is in the 80s and who was one of the main guys in the Gaulle space program. Same thing with thermonuclear fusion. So an old guy who is now in his late 80s, and he is not as gallant as Lyndon LaRouche, but he has talked to a few young guys, and he says, you are the only ones having an understanding of what nuclear energy is, because you understand nuclear physics, and you understand the intention of nuclear energy, which is for man to master his environment, to defend himself against the dangers that lie in the future, and you have a sense of that's necessary for space traveling. So he says that's the physics of nuclear of nuclear energy. It's not nuclear energy as something because it's cheaper and you get more or whatever. It's because it changes the behavior of human beings, because they are no more involved into the present, into short term, into illusions, into all these feeling states and into the slaves of their senses, but with the nuclear energy, they see beyond and they see that something what LaRouche is talking about, that it's the basis for the human mind in economics, is a principle of metaphor, which is a principle of something that appears in science not to correspond to any deductive development from the past, but which brings something that goes into the future in a sense where you get from its impact on the senses, you get beyond the senses in the causality of what's happening. And these people from this generation understand that, and this new generation is getting very, very interested. Same thing in politics. You have a young generation of journalists who are vomiting at their predecessors and who wants to go after the truth. It takes the form sometimes of an Indian race against the whites, but it's they are on the war trail. It's very interesting. And these people see myself. What will become very difficult to attack me in the coming period is that the fact that I was a victim is in all the medias now. Mm-hmm. So I say that doesn't satisfy me at all. I don't want any vengeance. I am disgusted by the French institutions. I'm disgusted by what they did. But it's not as a matter of revenge to change policies. So now let me develop my ideas. So some of them are saying, it's too early. In January, we will help you, would allow you to speak about your ideas. So we are going to publish my program. It's a 400 pages program. And also editorials that I wrote since 1995 to today. I write twice a month an editorial. So we are going to pick up about 50 on economic, social, and art and science matters, and publish it in a publishing house which accepts to publish it. So we'll have the program published by us and a publishing house going with this editorial. So that's the plan.
That's interesting. Now, Jacques, you brought up the nuclear energy question. Of course, we have this atrocity in Germany of the opting out of nuclear energy with the alleged excuse being the Fukushima case. But there's also been some discussion in France where you have probably the highest percentage of energy coming from nuclear power of maybe 75%. Any country in the world. How much?
75% of the French electricity production.
But what has been the result recently of the reemergence of the upgrading of the green movement as a result of Fukushima and what's being done in Germany?
Well, at this point, Sarkozy is defending the French nuclear energy lobby only for opportunistic reasons. But he says that the portion of nuclear energy should be reduced and new type of energy should be developed. He's not very precise on the figures. François Hollande says that he wants to reduce nuclear energy to 50% of the production of electricity. He had a big fight with ecologists that want to reduce it to much more. But even the ecologists are saying that we should keep nuclear energy for the next 30 years. So what I tell in public audiences that I look, these ecologists, either they are crazy or they are criminals, because if nuclear energy was so dangerous, you cannot continue during 30 years. You should stop it. So it proves that they don't believe in what they are saying. And they don't believe in what they are saying. What they are trying to ride the current of ideological current defined in Great Britain, defining in the United States, defining somewhere else. And the Germans picked it up, the first ones in Europe, and the Swiss also picked it up, by the way. Less than the Germans, but they also picked it up. Mm-hmm. Because they are occupied countries, they were occupied countries. In France, a big fight now is that people are claiming that they are not occupied country, but they are. So there is this contradiction, and it's coming really to the fore. There is a big fight, and my presence in the presidential election would help to bring it to the fore in a very brutal way. And if something happened in the next days, if what we are going to be trapped into, which is this war that can happen at any moment, this would create an explosion in this country, more than in any other country.
Well, I wanted to come back to the war danger, because that is really the dominant issue in the strategic situation right now. Let's just go back about a month and a half to the announcement by Putin that he was going to come back as Russian president, and that the Russians are talking about cooperation on essentially an SDI program, the Strategic Defense of the Earth plan. They're talking about opening up the Arctic area. We've been covering this on our website.
Yes.
Is any of this getting reported in France? Is there a sense that there's something, as LaRouche is saying, that the Russians and Chinese are being targeted precisely because they're refusing to go along with this British imperial system? They're refusing to contribute to the European bailout. Is there a sense of high strategy in some circles in France?
Yes, there is, but they are not very courageous against Sarkozy and what he represents. There is a sense, but the whole discussions are at this point under the table. So certain people, I am sure, want to promote me as a kind of mouthpiece of what they don't themselves are not courageous enough to mouth. There is a state of, I don't know how to call that, but of low-tuned cowardice in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You have that, and you have at the same time a kind of sense that the power is outside France, that it's no more like in the Gaulle times. In mm-hmm. the Gaulle times, it's no more inside France. So what I will have in the presidential campaign to deal with that as a formula, I don't know how to, it's not a slogan, but it's the theme of the campaign will be a world without the city and Wall Street.
Uh-huh.
And that will be, and of course, we are distributing a leaflet that I call, because it had to be in the presidential campaign, a leaflet whose title was When the War is Roaming, Is It Reasonable to Celebrate Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, people react quite well to that in the field. A lot of people say, you're right, you're the only one saying it. We understand that something is happening. But in the official circles, you have not a response to that that's happening in the population.
Well, Jacques, I know that you have, through your radio show that's done on our website there and through your frequent speeches around the country, that you're taking this issue up. So I'd like to ask you, we have about little more than 15 minutes.
We have a lot of comments on that, especially on the videos, because they go in Dailymotion, they go in Yahoo, they go throughout the place. And it's picking up more and more by people running blogs, like for it's happening also in the United States.
Right. Well, my question was this. When you talk to people, it's clear one of the powerful weapons we have that Lyndon LaRouche is talking about in terms of metaphor is this principle of tragedy.
Yes.
That when you have a society that's dominated by axioms of pragmatism, practicality, sense certainty, going along to get along, you have a society that's going to its own doom. And it's, in a sense, almost inevitable unless there's a display of courage, which is really should be the normal human condition. How do you address, when you talk to people in France, how do you give them the sense of the grandeur that's possible in a sovereign nation state, as opposed to the crawling, sniveling, fear-driven reaction that dominates politics in the whole transatlantic region now?
Telling the truth. And because if you overdo it, people don't believe you. If you speak up too strongly, people locate you as one of them who always is involved in demagogics. That's what's happening with Marine Le Pen. It's happening with people like that or the extreme left. So you have to be very blunt and at the time with a sense that it's a tragedy. At the same time, you should bring irony into the tragedy like in a Shakespeare play. That is what gets people in, what gets under the skin. And they see that you are not afraid. You have to give them the sense that you are not afraid because you are a leader. You are before them, in front of them, you are earning leadership. And that's what they expect. They don't expect big words, big things. They expect you to be truthful and to be behind your words, to have the courage to speak to them and to open the way, obviously, to the policies that are demanded in this situation. You see, people have to get the sense that we are in one of these extraordinary moments of history where among the collapse of the usual habits and deductive reasoning, you are left to your own courage and your own sense of mission. And that's beyond the parties, beyond the established rules. And if you give people the sense of that, they follow you.
Well, and if you look at the history of France, going back to Jeanne d'Arc, Louis XI, the Carnot and Monge, you look at the de Gaulle, you look at the moments where there were leaders, and then you look at the other side. There obviously have been intensive operations by the new Venetian party, the Roman Empire, the British Empire, targeting France. To what extent do you find recognition when you talk about Descartes, for example, or Voltaire, these figures who were deployed by the oligarchy to destroy the principles of science and metaphor? To what extent do you find resonance in the population on these issues?
Well, on Voltaire, Descartes people don't know, basically. It's a word. Voltaire, the youths are given in the secondary schools when they are 16, 17, 18, Candide as a piece of reference from Voltaire.
Right.
So they know what Voltaire is creating, that you have to stay in your garden to be happy and to be a bit idiotic so that you don't see what's happening in the world. So these people have the sense that it's a big lie and that this lie is the British principle. If you make them understand that this lie is based on the British principle of downbreeding, that to reduce people to the expression of their senses, what's happening with Candide in Voltaire? He's in this garden, he's with Cunegonde, the wife, and they are there doing nothing and except working in the garden and perfectly happy because they're becoming idiots. So people understand that if that is promoted as a model, is that they're about to slaughter you. So that they have a sense.
Uh-huh.
And there is a kind of mute and voice discontent in the country, what they called in France a deaf discontent, mécontentement sourd, and voice discontent, which is very big. So I have my job is to give a voice to this discontent and a direction.
And also there's a French scientific tradition, of course, with Madame Curie. This goes back to the time of the Renaissance. To what extent does this play a role? You mentioned earlier some of the nuclear scientists. Are you seeing a potential to revive the kind of optimism in the face of the galactic challenges and the destruction of education through sense certainty?
It will be first a sense of dedication, then after hope and after optimism. It works that way. People are at this point very interested by what was done to me in 1995. And they say if they did that to him, they should have had a good reason. And what's a good reason? So they are more seriously watching what we do. For example, at this point, we have in our website about between 125,000 and 150,000 hits per month. And the Cheminade 2012, when we are not really taking care enough of it now, we are going to go strongly with it in January, we have 20,000, 25,000 per month, which is not nothing. So we have all this curiosity, all this, it's a mixture of fear, curiosity, and sense that you have to do something, but they don't know very well what. And the worst slander that they are launching against me at this point is that I am a small candidate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst slander. So I'm saying I am in a minority, but it's minority that changed the world. And I am not small because I tell the truth, and because I'm acquainted with people in the United States and in other countries of the world, and in particular in Germany, who are in acting together with me. We have in our website a big thing now saying Christmas, our mobilization against the war, our international mobilization against the war, or mobilize yourself against the war with our international mobilization.
And what are you telling the people of France they should do to intervene to stop this war?
Well, it's something that people have problems in figuring out, and sometimes our own members, because they see that as so big, that and they see themselves as persons. If they don't see themselves as persons, then they understand what they should do, because they see themselves as part of a movement, which is an international movement, who is our movement, fighting against that. And then their identity is enhanced, and that you need to enhance their identity. And that can only be done culturally, because our big enemy in a country like France today, but it has been historical, is a question of culture. Because you have a lot of people who are against politically certain bad things, but in terms of culture, they have not the basis to be capable to come with something which will be the alternative. They are stuck by a lot of these Cartesian or Voltairean illusions that if you fight against injustice, that's enough. You don't need a program, you don't need a horizon, you don't need something for the future. And it's very typical of this campaign that people who are against the euro or who are saying that France should leave the euro have not any program of a great project or to open, that's my other thing in the campaign, it's to open public works, site building, civil engineering with high technology and connected to the space industry and to the development of the third world and to the world land bridge.
Well, are you finding in the younger generation
there is
an enthusiasm?
Yeah, it's very funny. There is a response in people under 30 and until 18, 17. It's the generation between 18, 17 to 25 is probably a bit less affected than in the United States because the counterculture has hit them very strongly, but not so deeply, I think. So there has a certain reaction of a few of them. But it's very difficult to have them, probably have the same problem in the United States, to have them organize in the long term, in the long run. They would do a few good things, and then they would get disoriented.
Yeah, that's a big problem. And what you see also is that one of the things we're finding is most effective in this mobilization is to start by just telling people what we're doing, that we're on alert over this Christmas holiday. We're on our battle stations. We're mobilizing to throw Obama out because we need to get to the post-Obama era. And I think that kind of approach where you put forward, first of all, what we're doing, as opposed to just giving a report on the war danger.
I know. That doesn't work. You have to have the sense of our work internationally in thinking about the society of the future, what Lyndon LaRouche said. You have to think the after Obama and what you are going to do after Obama.
And in France, you're talking about after Sarkozy, after Mitterrand, after Chirac.
Yeah, well, Chirac now has been sentenced to 2 years of pending jail. So that's nobody expected it. The prosecutors asked for immunity, and the judges decided to give a sentence of 2 years jail. For a secondary issue, it's like Lucky Luciano. Don't want to make...
You don't want to slander the mafia.
Yeah, I don't want to slander the mafia, no. And Chirac, the poor guy is absolutely disconnected with reality. He would not appeal. The family and Sarkozy decided not to appeal because they don't want the noise to continue around the case. But nonetheless, this whole Karachi affair is a big thing. The lawyer in the Karachi affair, who is the lawyer of the victims of the Karachi, and the lawyer of the Boulin case, which is a guy that was most probable, almost murdered.
Mm-hmm.
He was murdered in 79. So he was a Gaullist. He was supposed to be the prime minister of Giscard. And he wanted an independent policy from the City of London and Wall Street. And all of a sudden, on a small scandal of some land that he had bought, he committed suicide, and his body was discovered in 50 centimeters of water, drowned. So nobody believes that it was a suicide, so there is this case. And his lawyer mentioned my case, saying it's part of the same. Cheminade was attacked because he represented the sense of the nation. He was unjustly sentenced. It's an unbelievable case. The president of the Constitutional Council, Roland Dumas, was a dirty lawyer from Mitran. And he was the president of the Constitutional Council. He's saying now, I brought to Mitran, he declared it officially in a magazine from Lyon, from the city of Lyon. He said, I brought dirty money to Mitran all the time. He said that. And he said also that he was all the time making deals that they approved and changed the accounts, campaign accounts of Balladur and Chirac. And then the interior minister of Chirac, who decided to bring my case, the decision of the Constitutional Council, to the finance minister to go after me and to take a mortgage on all my belongings, this guy was Jean-Louis Debré, who is now the president of the Constitutional Council. So you have the most an incredible and visible conflict of interest.
So you know, at a time like this, Jacques, you also begin to see the people in the United States starting to figure out the connection of Wall Street, the City of London, the Queen of England to the Obamas. You have, under these kinds of crisis, it opens up the potential for people to listen and take up a bigger challenge. And I'd like to finish our program. We just have a couple of minutes. This is our special Christmas Eve edition of the LaRouche Show, and we've been joined for most of the last hour by Jacques Cheminade, discussing these kinds of broad strategic historic issues, which what I'd like to do, Jacques, in conclusion, is have you bring this home for people, what it means to them to take up the challenge at the end of this year, 2011, to make sure that we make it to the next year and that we actually have a potential for change.
It's truth, courage, and a sense of the future, to see with the eyes of the future. And if they see that we seriously see with the eyes of the future, then they do something. A minority, but this minority, if this minority speaks up, it will be followed by the majority. So that's the sense of a new movement inside the country corresponding to the best of French history. And this would go across the parties, above the parties, and above the political, the alleged political affiliations. And it's very clear that in the Free French during World War II and in the French resistance, it was exactly the same. All of a sudden, all the fake issues fall apart, and then there's a challenge. Either you fight for the true issues and you save your country and you save humanity, and you need for that a perspective, and this is what we are giving with our projects, or you decide to do nothing, and you think that by doing nothing you may escape, but you don't, and you would finish as a victim among other victims.
Well, it's also the case that if you act in the way that you're describing, it goes beyond France as well, that it would have an effect across Europe, and it would also rebound on this side of the Atlantic.
Oh, France has never been France if there was not an international dimension to it. That's very clear. And when you say to people, but we can do something about the situation, you can do something about the situation in the United States, people said, oh, that's true.
Well, Jacques, thank you very much. We'll have to end with that. I wish, you know, the old tradition in the United States is that we don't know anything except that we can change things.
Yes, absolutely. And I am committed to, if time is given to us, to do it here.
Okay, well, that you've just heard from Jacques Cheminade. And Jacques, you said it's Cheminade 2012 is the website people can go to?
Yes, Cheminade 2012 or Solidarité et Progrès in only one word, .org.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Jacques, and we'll be talking again soon, I'm sure.
And I'm sure that next time we would be in the way to victory.
I'm sure also. So thanks for joining us this week on The LaRouche Show. We'll be back next week, and get your friends to listen to this and get your friends mobilized and put them on alert, because
yes,
we can't allow this Obama-British policy to lead us to World War III.
And don't buy the silly things that people have produced to get you idiots.
All right, Jacques, bye.
Good. Good to talk to you.
Yeah.